Well, all right, welcome everybody. Glad y'all are here today. Whatever campus you are at, whether you're watching online or the podcast, we're glad that you're here. And we're here today to meet the Lord, to hear from God's Word. But we're here today to learn as a family how our lives can be more reflective of God's plan for us. And so I'm going to utter six words that you probably won't hear me utter for a long, long time after this. But here are the six words I want to start with today. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, okay? Turn to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. I'm telling you early because it may take you a few minutes to get there. But we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 11 today. I want to say thank you to many of you who've been praying for me over the last week. I've been battling with some kind of sickness that ultimately has caused me to lose my voice. And the sickness is gone, but my voice is still gone a little bit too. So please bear with that as we look at God's Word today. We're a faith family, all right? Here's what you need to know we're stepping into. This whole service today is about us learning just to live our lives out loud with God, that we want to be His people, and we want Him to be our God, and we're learning how to do that. Nobody's got that all together figured out yet. I don't have that all together figured out yet, but we're in this process. We're learning together. And so today, we're going to take another step in this process of learning together. Now, one of the values that we have at Pine Lake as a church family is we value the Word of God applied to our life. And part of the way we look at God's Word and use God's Word is not just on Sunday, but we think the Word of God ought to be a part of our life every day. Can y'all say amen or oh me to that? Y'all with me? Just track. Okay. We believe the Word of God is not just for the preacher to give us a sermon on Sunday. We believe the Word of God has something to say to every third or fourth grade kid who's sitting in the room right now. But it also has something to say to every 40-year-old mama in the room today, and something to say to every 50-year-old man in the room today, to every young couple, to every single person, no matter your stage of life. The Word of God has something of God's love and God's truth to say to you. We don't just use it on Sundays. We are a people who read the Word of God on a routine basis. We call it our L3 reading plan. That's why we're in Ezekiel today, because it's our L3 reading. Now, what is the L3 reading plan? L3 stands for three L's. It's our definition of a disciple. Okay, at Pine Lake, the goal is not to help you live better. The goal is not to get you happy. I'm not trying to save your marriage. We're not trying to make you feel warm and fuzzy and make it through another week. We want to help you be a disciple of Christ. Okay, is that fair enough? You understand the expectation is what we're aiming toward. What our whole experience is about becoming disciples of Christ. Now, a disciple is, according to the scripture, one who does three things. Learns from Christ, lives in Christ, not for Christ, but in the spiritual reality that Christ has for us, and then leads other people to Christ. A disciple is one who learns, lives, and leads. Three L's, hence our L3 reading. We're trying to learn every day to live as Christ's disciple. Tracking? Okay. Now, when you read, the L3 reading plan has a plan for you to read either the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs over the course of a year, or the whole Bible. I don't care which. The important thing is that you are in the Word. I think the more you mature, the more you ought to read Old and New Testament. I think all of it is very, very profitable. And we're going to see today the Old Testament speaks to us, okay? Now, when you read the Word, here's what a typical devotion time would look like for me in a nutshell. Get the Bible, get my app, see what I'm going to be reading today. Say a prayer. God, would you show me something today? Open my eyes to see something about you, something about me, something about our life together as I read. Then I do four things. R-E-A-P, reap. R-E-A-P, I read. Read the Bible, then the E is I examine it. What was God saying to those people way back then? Then I apply. What does that mean for me? And then the P is I pray about God, show me how to use that and help me to use that today. Y'all tracking with this? All right. This is a daily experience that you ought to include as a part of your life, not just coming to church on Sundays. That's awesome. We get to have a pep rally on Sundays, right? We're celebrating God on Sunday. But every day, while you're out there in the field getting it done, while you're out there in the business, in the marketplace, and at school getting it done, you need the Word of God. And you need to reap it every day. Read it, examine it, apply it, and then pray that God would help you. Now, I want to do that with you today. I'm going to share with you just out of my quiet time from what God said in today's reading with me. All right, I'm going to show you what I saw happening with them, how that applies to us, and then I'm going to ask you to pray about it at the end. All right, y'all want to have a little quiet time? Now, don't go to sleep, please. That would be so discouraging. All right, we want to have a quiet time, but I want you to encounter God, okay? The idea, the big idea, as I read Ezekiel 11 today, the big idea is this. God wants you to make the most of your second chance. God wants you to make the most of your second chance. Anybody here today need a second chance? Come on, I need another chance and another chance. And I want to help you today make the most of your second chance. What I don't want is for you to get a second chance and then blow that, and then come back next week and say, I need another chance, and blow that, and then come back next week and say, I need another chance, and you're 2 years down the road, and you're still blowing the same chances about the same stuff. Anybody know that frustration, right? You're battling that same old junk time and time again, and you're never better. You're not making the most of your second chances, all right? I want to get you unstuck today. The Word of God is going to show you how to get unstuck today. Because God's going to say to the people in Ezekiel's day, I want you to make the most of your second chance. And here's how to do it. Now, there's a little background on the book of Ezekiel. Isaiah and Jeremiah write to people who are living in the promised land, Israel, saying, if y'all don't get right, God's going to jack y'all up. Now, that's kind of a loose interpretation, but that's basically what he says. All right, they say, if y'all don't quit turning away from God, and if you don't start turning back to God, living the way God wants you to live in this land, God's going to bring some Babylonians over here. They're going to lay siege to you, take you captive, and remove you from God's plan for your life. Isaiah and Jeremiah say to the people, turn to God, turn to God, turn to God. Ezekiel is prophesying. After this has already happened, they didn't turn. They get taken away captive to Babylon. And God told them, look, y'all didn't turn. The only way now you're going to be saved is just go surrender to the Babylonians. That's the only way you can be saved. Go surrender to the Babylonians. So some did. They get carried away to Babylon. Those who remained obstinate to God, most of them died. A few of them stayed in Jerusalem. They were left over. And they felt like because they were living in Jerusalem where the temple was, that somehow God was pleased with them. They were still living the same old way. But they thought that because they lived there, God was pleased with them. And they started saying to those people who had surrendered to God and gone into captivity, hey, God isn't with y'all. Y'all are way over there. And God's writing through Ezekiel, who's living in captivity amongst these people, and he's saying, hey, you see those guys back there? They think they're close to God because they're where the temple is, but God's not with them, and they're about to be judged. And God says to the people who are actually in captivity, he says to you guys, I'm going to restore you back to my plan, to the promised land, but when you get there, I want you to make the most of your second chance. Now, some of y'all in here today think you're close to God because you've been in church all your life. And you're so far from God, it ain't even funny. Your heart's not near to God. You think you're close to God because you're close to the house of God and the people of God. All right? It's be a warning to us. It's what Ezekiel is telling us. But I also want to say to some of you who you feel you're so far away from God, you sit on the back row of the church. Maybe you showed up today not because you wanted to, because your mama made you, or you feel hopeless and it's a last-ditch deal, or you're watching right now a podcast at home because you don't even feel like you can go to church. You feel so far from God. Can I say to you today, though you may feel far from God, can I say to you, God's a whole lot nearer to you than you think. And God actually may be just about to break through for you today to give you another chance. And if you want it, would you just open your heart to receive his word today? Let's look and see what God says to these people who were about to get a second chance, and he wanted them to make the most of the second chance. Ezekiel chapter 11, beginning in verse 14. The word of the Lord came to me, that's Ezekiel, and he said, son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them are those to whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, go far from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession, right? So he says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, though I had removed them far away among the nations, and though I had scattered them among the countries, yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries where they had gone. God said, I put them in time out, but I didn't give up on them. I was still with them. I'm still there with them. Okay, verse 17. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I'm going to give you the land of Israel. What did he say? I'm going to bring y'all back. I'm going to bring you back to the promised land, the life that I intended for you, the way I want to bless your life. I'm going to bring you back. And when I do, verse 18, when they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. That, here's the purpose, that they may walk in my statutes and my ordinances and do them. And the result is then they will be my people and I will be their God. Verse 21, but as for those whose hearts go after their detestable things and abominations, I'm going to bring their conduct down on their heads, declares the Lord God. Word of the Lord, okay? How do you make the most of your second chance today? How do you break this cycle of frustration where you keep asking God for another chance and another chance and another chance about the same old thing? Here's the way it goes, right? Number one, you got to remove the bad influencers from your life. Remove the bad influences and influencers from your life. Verse 18, when I bring y'all back here, the first thing y'all going to do is you're going to have to remove all the detestable things and all the abominations. You're going to have to remove those things that led you away from me in the first place. Now, watch this real close. God's not talking about confessing sins. All right, he's not talking about repenting of sins in this moment. God's talking about removing the on-ramps for sin. He's not talking about the act, what you do. He's talking about removing those things that lead to you doing that bad thing. You tracking with that? People, places, possessions, those kind of things, practices. He's saying, I want you to get those things out. He says, I want you to remove them. Remove them all. Now, we need to hear this because in America today, especially in our little culture, we don't really understand what remove is because we just think about moving things. All right? Whenever you want to get some new clothes, you don't throw out your old clothes. You just move them over or you move them up to the attic and you just stuff new stuff in the closet. True? Come on, somebody said it, should say amen to that because you know your wife needs an extra closet taking over your closet because she doesn't have anything old gone. She didn't remove it. She just moved it. Some of y'all right now, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You could go find a pair of Jabald pants with a FUBU shirt, and that's awful. That's an abomination. But if you can go find that in your closet, you know what I'm talking about. You didn't remove anything. You just moved it somewhere and put new stuff in. Some of y'all, you get new furniture, and you don't remove the old furniture. You just move it to another place, right? You move it up in the attic. You move it to your kid's place for a little while. Lord have mercy knows we're building sheds and renting facilities month to month, paying $80 a month to store, I started to say CRAP, junk you don't even need. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We don't know nothing about removing stuff. We just move stuff. Now think about this. Does God want you to just move your bad influences around or does he want you to remove them? Does he want you just to kind of put them in a safe spot or does he want you to drag them to the street and let somebody take them to the dump? God wants you to remove it. God wants you. We're not talking about the sin right now. We're talking about that stuff that leads you to sin. It could be some physical things in your life that need to be out. There are certainly things like magazine subscriptions, stuff you have in your cabinets, stuff you may have in your medicine cabinet that you don't need anymore. Old pictures, souvenirs from a time gone by. And you're trying to mind your business and walk with God, but that takes you back to a different place and incites something in you that doesn't need to be incited. Look, I know people who have said, you know what, I got to get television out of my house. I can't watch without finding bad things. There may be a daily routine that you have. There may be a membership to some club that you go to that the people there, the atmosphere there, it just takes you down. There may be people in your life. There may be certain aspects of social media that you need to say, that has got to go out of my life. In and of itself, that wouldn't be a bad thing, but for you, it's a bad thing because it leads you to bad stuff. You tracking with this? I'm not talking about moving it over. I'm not talking about putting it in the closet. I'm not talking about, you know, just kind of rearranging some things, but holding on to it. I'm saying God says, if you want to make the most of your second chance, there are some things in your life, they got to go. You need to clean house. We had a lady, sometimes people call us and as our elders and say, hey, I'm sick. Would you come pray for me? And that's biblical, James 5. If anybody's sick, Call the elders. Let them anoint them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray over them. They'll be healed. And there's some spiritual things that go on with that, confessing of sin and making sure the soul's right, the spirit's right, so that physical healing can come. But man, listen, God has done some incredible stuff through our elders as we've prayed for people who are physically sick. But occasionally we'll get a different kind of call. We had a call from a lady one time who said, listen, my house, something evil is going on in my house. I feel it. I sense it. My son and I can't get along. Something's going on here. Would you guys come pray over my house? Now, when they got to the house, started seeing things, games that the kid was playing on video, different pictures that were laying around the house, different things that were in the house that were clearly on-ramps to bad stuff and bad behavior and bad presence. And so their recommendation was not let's just pray about it and try to move that stuff over, put it in the closet. The recommendation was, hey, would you consider cleaning house? Getting out the on-ramp, and then we'll pray this house over. She cleaned house. The house was prayed over. Things were different. God wants to do that in your life. Are there some physical things that may just, look, it just may need to go. There may be some spiritual strongholds in your heart or mind that need to go. Again, I'm not talking about the act of sin. I'm talking about the root of sin that is causing you to do this. It's not something physical. It's an agreement you've made or a mindset you've developed in your own mind. I've been very open with you guys that I've had to deal with this in my own life. Why do I have anger? God said there's something inside of you where you're broken. God, why do I battle with impure thoughts? Because there was something that was broken inside of you whenever you were a little kid. God, why do I battle with greed? Because there was something in your mindset whenever you were so broke, whenever you were a kid, that you couldn't open up your hands to share. And so God will reveal to you some things that, you know what, I need to get that out. Now, if you need to clean house physically, that's easy enough. Cancel that, change that, throw that away. What about when I need to clean house spiritually? How do I do that? Here's the way you do it. Confess your sin. God, I confess the sin, and it's wrong, and I'm repentant of that. I claim the blood of Christ. God, show me now what the root of this thing is. And as the Holy Spirit shows you, then you take your stand in the authority of Christ. I'm going to give you a couple of verses because, listen, you have the spiritual right and authority to clean your house. You don't need Jesus to come do it for you. He forgives you. He cleanses you. But I want you to understand you've got spiritual authority to clean your house. Okay? Here's the verses. Colossians 1:13 reads like this. For he, Jesus, rescued us from the domain, control of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In other words, Jesus has taken you out of Satan's control, and he's now placed you under his control. You're under his kingship, in whom we now have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. God has forgiven you. You're now belonging to Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is above all things, right? Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So where is your life hidden? With Christ in God. I belong to God. I belong to Christ. And I'm hidden in Christ in God, which means now, you have the spiritual authority when you realize, man, I've got an issue. I've got a problem. My mindset is broken. It's warped. My heart is bent. You have the authority to say, God, thank you for forgiving my sins. I appreciate that. I really do. But God, I got to get this spirit of jealousy, spirit of inferiority, spirit of possessiveness, spirit of pride. You got to get out of my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get out of my life. Spirit of addiction. Get out of my life. Mindset that says, I have to have this in order to be significant. Get out of my life. Do you understand what we're saying? We're talking about a spiritual house cleaning. God wants you to get all that stuff out of your life. Not a little bit, all of it. Isn't that what verse 18 says? Clean out all the abominations. It doesn't need to move. It needs to get removed. Don't move it to the attic or the closet. Drag it to the street. Drag it to the cross. Let Christ redeem it. Forgive it. All right? And get it all out. You got to get it out because God wants to do something new, okay? Remove the bad influences. Number two, if you're going to make the most of your second chance, is you got to receive what God gives you. Receive God's new resources for you. This is verse 19 where God says he wants to give you some things. He wants to give you some new things. Verse 19, he said, and I will give them one heart, put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. God is a giver. And while he's saying to you, hey, I want you to get some things out, I want you to move some things out, God is saying, I want a giver. I'm a giver. I want to give you some new things. Three resources he's going to give you to make the most of your second chance. Please hear me. None of these things are going to have to do with your self-effort. Now, you removing things out of your life and out of your way, that's up to you. You got to do that. And verse 21 says that if you don't want to do that, you're probably not going to make the most of your second chance. Verse 21 said, you're going to reap what you sow. If you hold on to those bad influencers and influences, it's going to take you down. But if you'll let them go, if you say, you got to get out of my life, then God says he'll do something in you that'll do something that'll transform the way you live. Now watch it. What's he going to give you? He's going to give you a singular heart. All right? He says, I'm going to give them one heart, right? Isn't that what verse 19 says? I'm going to give them one heart. What does that mean? It means that you have one heart in your body and it pushes blood all through your body. But how many of you know that your heart in the Bible is also, you know, you ever just felt something in your heart? You know what I'm talking about? Come on, you just felt in my heart this was right. Is that talking about your physical heart? No, it's talking about the seat of our emotions. It's talking about that place inside of us where we desire things and choose things and make decisions, where we think about stuff. That's my heart. How many of you know that you can have a divided heart? On the inside, I'm not talking about my physical heart that pumps. I'm talking about my inside, the soul part of me in my heart. I can be divided. I can want something and yet not want it. I can want to do something and yet not want to do it at the same time. Can I get a witness? Come on. Every man who's married knows what I'm talking about, right? Because it doesn't matter where you eat, but let's don't go there, right? You know what I'm saying, right? There's a conflict, right? There's a conflict that goes on in our hearts. Our hearts can be divided. Now, what does God say? God wants you to get off the fence of having, well, I really want it this way, but I also want it that way. God wants you to get off the fence of saying, you know, I really want God to bless my life and my business, but I can't be honest because I won't be able to make a paycheck. You can't say, God bless this relationship, but we're still going to be sexually active, though we're not married. You tracking? We get on the fence, and if you sit on the fence with a divided heart, God says, that's the one thing that just makes me sick. That's the one thing that just hurts God is when you know better, but yet you don't choose better. What is that? My heart is divided. You're not a bad person. Your heart's divided. So what does God say? I want to give you a united heart. I want to give you, if you'll take out the bad influencers and ask me, I'll give you a singular heart. Unite my heart, God, to fear your name. Some of you need to pray that right now today. God, unite my heart to fear your name. How do you get a united heart? Second thing he's going to give you is he's going to give you a new spirit. And this is how I think your heart becomes to be united. He says, I'm going to give you a new spirit. What is that? Well, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like you and I have the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would rest on people, but it was not permanent. He could empower them, but they were not indwelt. And so, in large measure, people were really trying to do their best with what they had. But in the New Testament, he's prophesying, Ezekiel's talking about a new day coming. When Jesus would come, he would live, God among us, live on the earth, die for our sins, be buried, resurrected on the third day, ascend into heaven, and then he pours forth his spirit, not on us, but in us. You now are the temple of God. You have God dwelling in you. Now this spirit of God, placed in you, identifies you as a child of God. That's Romans 8. But the Spirit of God in you also empowers your daily living. He empowers you to live. You are a child of God. I can cry, Abba, Father. I know I belong to God because His Spirit lives in me. I've gone from death to life. But listen, the Spirit in you wants to bring transformation. All right, watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, that you have not received a spirit. God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Watch this. Power, love, and discipline. When the Spirit of God comes into you, praise God, he says, you're God's child. But he doesn't wait for you to get to heaven to change you. He starts right now from the inside out working in you to empower you. Not a spirit of fear, not a spirit of cowardice, but God has given you, child. He's given you a spirit that brings power. The word is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. Boom. Capacity. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Why? Not me, but Christ in me. It's the Spirit of God who is enabling me. Ephesians 3:20, God can do more through His Spirit in you than you can think, ask, or imagine. There is an unlimited power source available to you. Not that you do better, but that the Spirit of God enables you, empowers you, all right? He gives you a spirit of love, which means that you love people like Christ loves. Can I just say to you, I think this is what's missing. A lot of people are missing power. A lot of people today are missing love. The love of Christ will enable you to love people you don't like anymore. The love of God will enable you to love people you actually dislike now. The love of God, the Spirit of God in you, fruit of the Spirit is, first one, love. The Spirit of God will actually enable you to have more compassion than you've ever had. I am not naturally a compassionate person. All right? On the spiritual gift test, mercy is always very low on my radar. I either score a 0 or a 1. Okay? And listen, I have hurt people because of my lack of compassion and love naturally. And can I just say to many of you that maybe I've neglected or been insensitive to, I am so sorry. Now, most of them go to a different church right now. I'm being serious. They really do. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But let me just tell you something. My wife is my witness. I'm not the same person I used to be because the Spirit of God is making me more loving. I think I'm a 2 now. But that's better than a 1. Come on. I'm saying to you that when the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about you doing better. I'm saying, God, change me. Unite my heart. Holy Spirit, do something in me. He's the power. He's the love. He's the self-control or the discipline. What is that? That is, He'll tell you when to use more power, when to use a little more love, when to weave them in together. You're not under control of your emotions. You're not just rolling up on people. You're not just making decisions. The Spirit of God gives you the temperament to know what to do, when to do, how to do. We're not talking about you doing better. We're talking about you receiving the Spirit of Jesus inside of you. One heart, a new spirit, a sensitive heart. I'm going to take away your heart of flesh and give you a heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. What is that? How many of you know that if you work without gloves, with a hoe or a shovel? Come on, fellas. A rake. Raking leaves these days. Now we just mulch them up with a riding mower, but work with me for a second. You go to the gym, you don't have gloves on. You do that enough, what happens to your hand right there? Callous, right? Gets hard. Look at your hands right now, fellas. Just go in and look at your hands. You see any? Some of y'all got real hard hands. You've been doing a lot of work. The more work you do with unguarded hands, the harder your calluses are, the more insensitive you are. You can work all day, all week, won't get a blister. Why? You've gotten calloused. You've gotten hardened. You're not sensitive anymore. Your heart can get calloused. God can say, don't, and you can say, yes, anyway, and your heart can get hardened where you don't really sense God talking to you anymore. As a matter of fact, it can go past callous to just straight up hard. The Bible says you can have a calloused heart or a hard heart, a heart of stone. And God says the reason you're not making the most of your second chances is because you're operating with your heart of stone. You're not being sensitive to God, but He's given you a new spirit. You've gotten some bad things out, and He wants to give you a heart that is spiritually sensitive. God wants to give you a heart that spiritually is sensitive to God. Sometimes God will yell at you. That's usually painful. By the time God has to raise His voice, it's too late. You over here in Babylon, right? There's some stupid tax involved now. But God wants every day just to let you learn to hear His whispers in a moment. And church, let me tell you, this probably excites me more than anything else about this whole message is that somehow our church would learn to listen to the whispers of God. That God would give you today, fellas, a sensitive heart. And whenever he says, don't say that right now, you would go, got it. That when God says, I want you to take this stand right now, I want you to do it graciously, but I want you to have some courage, and I want you to take a stand right here, that you would do it. That you would begin to listen to the whispers of God that says, hey, I want you to pay for that person behind you's meal. That you would learn to listen to the whispers of God that would say, I want you to text her right now. I want you to text him right now. You understand what I'm saying? That God, that you would have a sensitivity. If you would begin to listen to the Spirit of God, he'd change everything. That you would not wait for God to act. I actually would ask that you would do what I'm learning to do, which is to say, God, what would you have me do today? God, I have several things that I could do. What would you like for me to do? And to be proactive in inviting God into your day. Now, how many of y'all know that would be different? You hadn't been doing that. That's why you keep, need another chance and another chance and another chance. So today, we're getting all the bad stuff out and we're doing a new thing. God, would you, by your Holy Spirit, give me a new heart? Would you give me a sensitive spirit to you to walk with you? Now, if you'll do that, watch this. If you'll say, old stuff out, I'm receiving what God has for me. Same way as you would pray and say, God, forgive me for my sins. You would pray and say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life. God, I ask you to unite my heart to fear your name. Holy Spirit, would you give me a sensitivity to you, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm putting my yes on the table already. Okay? Now just think if you did that, but think if all of us did that. Now what happens? Right? What happens? How do you make the most of your second chance? If you get the bad stuff out and you receive what God's given you, a new heart and his Holy Spirit, then the Bible says you get to walk a new way. But that's verse 20. Go back and look and see what it says, because it gives you the purpose and the result of what's going on. It says that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they'll be my people and I'll be their God. God says, if you want to have things different in your life, get the bad stuff out, receive me. Then the purpose, what God wants is for you to live a brand new way. If disobedience got you in the land of Babylon paying stupid tax, then whenever you get back home, do what God says. Observe the word. Keep the word. Do the word. Do what God says. That's what God wants you to do. Again, that's not you doing better. It's you just simply responding to the Spirit of God in you. It's living from the inside out. Do you see the difference? Come on, if you don't see this, you're going to miss it. You're going to need another chance next Sunday and another chance the next Sunday. If you'll quit trying to do better, and say, God, I need some stuff out of my life, and I want to receive your Spirit, and I'm going to listen to your Spirit. If you'll start walking, God will say, I'll lead you to walk in the right way. Things will be different. And if you begin to walk in the right way, then he says, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Okay? If you have your Bible open, I want you to look back at verse 20, and I want you to underline that phrase. They will be my people, and I will be their God. If you can highlight it on your phone or pad, highlight it. Because this is the message of the Bible. If I were writing a Bible for dummies, this is the heart of the Bible for dummies. God wants people who will just consent to be his and who will say to God, you're my God. Out of all the ways I can live my life, I want you to be my God and I'm going to be your child. Is that complicated? It is not. It's not complicated. What makes it hard is my flesh gets in the way. But God's removed that heart, and he's given me a new spirit, okay? That God wants you to live as his child. He wants to be your God moving in your life. God wants to bring his kingdom and his new beginnings into you right now. And that's what God says he'll do. If you'll remove, I'll give, you'll walk different. And man, you'll experience my goodness. You see that? It's not hard. It's what God wants to do. It's what God was saying through Ezekiel. It's what God is saying to you. I believe, I'm convinced that from Genesis to Revelation, the desire of God has been to have a people that he could fill with peace, love, joy, and purpose. that you can have peace with God and peace within yourself by His presence. That you could have love in your heart and your relationships be marked by the love and presence of God, and they would be fulfilling to you. That's the way God designed it to work. And it can work now if you'll do it God's way. Not you working, God in you working. Peace, love, joy. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. The word Eden is the paradise of God. It's the garden of delights. God wants to bless you. And of all the things that are alluring in this world, of all the things that give you promises in this world, can I just say to you, they're empty and they're mud pies compared to the things that God wants to give to you, to the joy that God wants to give to you. It's hard for me to convince you. I can't. But the Spirit of God can show you that God actually has a good plan for your life, a plan filled with joy forever, even in the midst of hardship. God designed you to live that way. Peace, love, joy, and a sense of purpose. Adam and Eve had a job even in Eden. A sense that they were made to do something that mattered. And so are you. Your life has value. Your life matters. But you only experience it as you walk in the fullness of what God has. God can help you to make the most of your second chances. It's what I love about baptism stories on Sundays. I love hearing people say, this was my life before, but I let it all go and I turned to Christ and Christ is making me new. And they're still in process, but God is making us new. It's deer season. I don't know about you guys, but I have some friends that I am closer to in different seasons of life than other seasons. And in deer season, I have a whole group of friends that come to the forefront of my text message threads. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Guys that maybe you don't text all the time in the rest of the year, for 5 months, we're lighting it up. And I've just been reflecting on some of those guys that I've been texting with recently. One guy who had a great business, moved to the big city, made a couple $1 million, more actually, but was living his own way, lost his business, was about to lose his family, everything that mattered. God brought him here, and he removed some bad things and received the Spirit of God. He's been baptized. He's got his life. He's got his wife. He's now got his business back, and he's running it totally different. He's making the most of his second chance. I was thinking about a friend of mine who texted me yesterday morning about 6:15, 6:30. Most of y'all were still asleep. Some of the old folks were drinking coffee, I know. But it's dark outside still at 6:30. He'd been sitting in a tree for about 15 minutes. Sent me a text message and said, man, I'm just sitting here in the dark, listening to the world wake up, and God just put you on my heart, and I was praying for you, praying for your physical health, praying God just sustain you, that God would be with you. Now, you're thinking, well, of course, you got choir boy friends for friends, right? Can I rewind 20 years ago? Sitting at McAllister's in Madison, first time I ever have a conversation with this dude. Swole up, hardened guy who, making his own decisions, had made a mess. And yet, by God's grace, he said, you know what? I got to let some influences and some influencers out of my life. That stuff's got to go. And he received the love and the grace of Jesus and a do-over. And it's been 20 years, and it's been inch by inch, but God has transformed this guy's life now to where at 6:30 on a Saturday morning, 38 degrees out there, he's sitting in a tree sending a prayer of a text message to his preacher. Let me just tell you, that's weird. But that's God. And I'm saying to you, you may feel like you're far from God right now, but you may be closer than you think. God wants to give you a do-over now. Now. Your new beginning is now. But you got to let some things go. And trust that if God's opening up your hand to let it go, He's going to put something better in its place. God's going to give you Himself. And in receiving Christ and His Spirit, He's going to help you to live the life you were intended to live. Okay? That's our quiet time. Now, let's pray. And as we pray, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. God, you're here. You're with us. God, would you pray this? Come on. Every campus. God, what did you just say to me? God, what do you want me to learn? I'm not asking you what you think your husband should have gotten. I'm not asking you what you hope your kids got. What did you just say to me, Jesus? Maybe he said you need to clean house. Maybe saying you need to clean the whole house. Maybe he's saying, what you need is to quit trying so hard and trust me and just welcome my spirit presence in you to give you, ask me to give you a new heart. What did he say? What are you learning? That the best life you could possibly have, it'll never be earned out there in the street. The best life is received by letting God be your God. And you just saying, God, I want to be your son. You learn something? Right now, God, how can I live this out today? Not I want to be more loving. No. Ask God to give you a way to demonstrate love tangibly in the next 6 hours. God, how can I demonstrate that? I need to clean house. No. God, what do I need to clean out? What do I need to go home and cancel? God, what do I need to go home and throw away? Right? I really need to receive God. No. God, I'm receiving you right now. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Hey, I don't want to have this cancer in my body one more minute. So, spirit of fear, you got to leave my life in Jesus' name right now. I'm cleaning this up right now. What's he want you to do? How can you live it? One last thing. Who can you lead? Who could you share this with? And maybe somebody specific will come to your mind. Would you pray for them right now? Would you pray for opportunity? Take opportunity. Plan the opportunity to speak it. Maybe a lunch this week. Maybe a conversation later today. But lead others to Christ. I'm a beggar, telling other beggars where I'm finding bread. So, Lord, would you take our time in the Word and, God, let it now bring forth fruit forever and ever. God, would you make the most of our second chances today? In just a second, I'm going to close this prayer. We're going to sing to God just a song that just says, God, I surrender again today. Every bit of me, Lord, I give to you, believing you're good and best. And I pray that you'll worship. Look, you'll sing this song. It'll be a good time as we lift this up to God. But while we're doing that, we believe in the power of Jesus. When we gather, he's here. And whenever he's here, we can ask him for things. He can move. And so maybe you need to be prayed for healing. Maybe you got a test coming up this week. Maybe you got a big decision that's around the corner. Or maybe you have someone on your mind that you just want to stand and represent them. In just a minute, there are going to be prayer ministers at the front, around the room. When we stand up, would you step out and just unleash the power of God through prayer in your life? When we stand up, you just step out and ask someone to pray with you about that thing that God has on your heart today. So, Father, we love you, we bless you, we worship you. Hear our prayers, receive our praise for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.